This is Get Lit with Literature, and this is Monk. You can find out more at the website allbook-books.com. This week is a natural follow-up to last week and the week before, a review of Anthony Lowenstein's book, The Palestine Laboratory, How Israel Exports the Technology of Occupation Around the World, 2023. I had heard nothing about this until I saw, I think, an interview or article mentioned online, and it is highly informative, essential information to understand the techno-capitalist surveillance industrial complex that's of global proportions. And it's challenging reading, it's disturbing reading, it's a lot of information. Because of the disturbing and a lot of information, I had to put it down after about 120 pages. And then by the time I was ready to pick it up, I got back right into it and finished it. And it's about 220-something pages. So I both recommend and don't recommend this book because it's excellent, very informative, but it's challenging both emotionally and a lot of information. So if you're up for that, I recommend it. I'll read the jacket. Best-selling journalist Anthony Lowenstein, author of Disaster Capitalism, uncovers a hidden world in a global investigation drawing on secret documents, revealing interviews, and on-the-ground reporting. He shows how Palestine became the perfect laboratory for the Israeli military techno-complex. Surveillance, home definite demolitions, indefinite incarceration, and brutality of the high-tech tools of the, quote, startup nation. Israel's military uses the occupied Palestinian territories as a testing ground for the weaponry and surveillance technology. It then exports around the world to despots and democracies alike. For more than 50 years, occupation of the West Bank and Gaza has given the Israeli state invaluable experience in controlling an, quote, enemy population. It's here that they have perfected the architecture of control. Israel has become a global leader in developing the spying technology and defense hardware that fuels the globe's most brutal conflicts. The evidence is in the Pegasus software that hacked Jeff Bezos's and Jamal Khashoggi's phones, the weapons sold to the Myanmar army that murdered thousands of Rohingyas, and the drones used by the European Union to monitor refugees left to drown in the Mediterranean. So right there, you get a sense of how challenging it is. And I will again mention that, as I did last episode, that that film October 7th about Hamas is so-called, to some people, a resistance group, to some people, terrorists. Their invasion, infiltration into Israel defies logic because of what he's pointing out in this book. And the chapters tell a lot. Selling weapons to anybody who wants them. September 11th was good for business. Preventing an outbreak of peace. Selling Israeli occupation to the world. The enduring appeal of Israeli domination, Israeli mass surveillance in the brain of your phone, social media companies don't like Palestinians. That chapter, the last chapter, that highlights a lot of how various things that were taken off Facebook and Instagram far outweigh favoritism. And who's deciding, and they far outweigh the techno-surveillance capitalist system. So some of the things I highlighted, the quote, unwanted populations, that's how, you know, various people that are viewed as quote, worthy of being surveillance and such like. This really also, aside from the horror of the geopolitics, it just accentuated to me the whole current wave of surveillance, the surveillance industry, the military complex, military-industrial complex, the drones, cybersecurity, weapons, homeland security industry, racial profiling, and nationalism. Those are some of my highlights. In essence, I would sum up the book as a rough phrase, the business of genocide. Very difficult. That's, again, like I said, very difficult stuff. And then on a more intellectual level is digital colonialism. One of the highlights towards the last chapter, too, was just reminded me of nothing new under the sun, the digital banning of criticism. How much it's going on now with the protests, collegiate protests, just anything that's critical of the system of domination tends to get clamped down upon. And this is akin to the book history of book burning. So it goes to show the level of the ideology of those who are paranoid control freaks. And part of the technology, though, is how it has abetted the the whole spy versus spy system. Espionage, security, now depending on statistics and who you ask, a lot of times there'll be examples of how this is helping to catch, criminals, drug smugglers and such like. But then again, the level of usage against minorities and democratic ways makes it all very questionable. And it highly much feeds a war mentality. Here's a quote. "We need to take the technologies we use in war and implement them on the medical battlefield." That's a quote from a medical center in Haifa. Nowhere, and then the author, nowhere in the story was it mentioned on whom these technologies were normally used, the Palestinians. And not only that, that's the danger of any of these things. As Russell Means, the Lakota, said, welcome to the reservation. "Millions of Israelis are now subject to the same Shin Bet-style monitoring once reserved mainly for terrorist suspects," Haaretz, that's the journalist, that's the newspaper, I think, complained in April 2020, ignoring the fact that countless Palestinians under Shin Bet surveillance weren't terrorists at all. Yeah, here's an example of, like I said, the rough stuff that made me have to put the book down. This is on page 100, that made me have to stop reading for a little while. This is the key difference and the real reason that the drones are a technological upgrade for the Coast Guard. It gives them the option to let refugees drown. That was a quote from someone. Further on, Israel is a key player in the EU battle to both militarize its borders and deter new arrivals, a policy that hugely accelerated after the massive influx of migrants in 2015, particularly due to the wars in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. The EU has partnered with leading Israeli defense companies to use its drones, and of course, years of experience in Palestine is a key selling point. Now, this segues into a book I just started reading by Todd Miller, Empire of Borders, which in the first few pages has this standout quote, "The justification for the U.S. global war border building can be found in two sentences of the 1,000-page 9/11 Commission report published in 2003. Quote, 9/11 has taught us that terrorism against Americans, quote, over there, should be regarded just as we regard terrorism against Americans, quote, over here. In this same sense, the American homeland is the planet." American homeland is quite the statement there in the 9/11 Commission. American homeland is the planet. That is hubris on steroids. Talk about full spectrum dominance. There it is. But this is the thing these books are in enlightening me to, is that the post 9/11, this massive accentuation of all this stuff, the borders, the surveillance, the technology, the crackdown on refugees, on migrants, people unable to travel because of this, people, trapped as the Palestinians in open air prisons or concentration camps. So this is a frightening portrayal of this two-tiered world system of gated communities and gated communities and prison communities, the haves and the have-nots. So that's the combo thing that's going on here, which Lowenstein's book gives the specifics of Israel. And here's some more quotes. Elbitz, now Elbit, they're responsible for spying on the Tohono O'odham, on the Mexican North America U.S. Turtle Island border, where there used to be no border. and the animals and the people, the indigenous people, traveled freely. But now I heard that on First Voices Radio with Ophelia Rivas talking about the spy towers and cameras. If she goes out to garden in her, around her house, there's, or apartment, whatever, there are cameras. So this is the insane level that the surveillance has become. And Elbit is Israeli. Elbit's Hermes drone and IAI's Heron drone were used during Israel's wars against Gaza since 2008. There's growing competition in drone sales. Turkey's TB2 can carry laser-guided bombs, be placed in a flatbed truck, and cost far less than Israeli or American drones. But Israeli models remain hugely popular. In 2017, Israeli drone manufacturers accounted for 60% of the global drone market in the previous three decades. And not to mention the hijacking of the names. And it gets into some of the countries, you know, specific countries that Israel does big business with. For example, Greece and Germany and India. And here's a good quote, a good phrase, high-tech repression equipment. Lawyer Evgenia Kuniaki, who monitors the Evros border, told Koda in 2021 that the Greek government was on a buying spree of high-tech repression equipment because, quote, they want to satisfy their voting public. Now, in Greece, refugees have no rights. It's the darkest period that I've seen as a refugee lawyer, end quote. Then it goes on, like I said, Germany. The Palestinian intellectual Tariq Bakoni gave a powerful speech in Berlin in May 2022 at a conference titled Hijacking Memory, the Holocaust and the New Right. He noted that states like Germany have once again accepted Palestinians as collateral. Their oppression and colonization is a fair price to pay to allow Germany to atone for its past crimes. The Israeli government, in partnership with the German right, has been allowed to define how Germans should atone for their genocidally anti-Semitic past, argues American Jewish writer Peter Beinhardt. The Israeli government and its German allies have told Germans that because their ancestors murdered Jews, they must defend the Jewish state. That's analytically and morally wrong, end quote. And yet another phrase, border industrial security complex. And another big statement, the role of Israeli surveillance globally is empowering anti-democratic and fascist governments, Israeli human rights lawyer Itai Mack told me. And it's not just targeting journalists and human rights. The Israeli defense sector is evolving and becoming far less public. Quote, in the coming years, I do not see police in Bahrain using Israeli rifles or Israeli drones or missiles being bought by the United Arab Emirates because it could cause another Cuban Missile Crisis type situation and inflame Iran, Mack said. But selling Israeli surveillance equipment is much easier to do and not be detected. So that's another aspect of all this stuff, is not the stuff you can see, as far as the phone hacking and this and that. It's stuff that one cannot see, or that may not be known that one is being seen with the surveillance equipment. As I did not know that that school buses had cameras. So I did not know that. So the time I was in a near 50 mile an hour zone and thought I could just get past the school bus safely, which I did, but because of like a 0.1 second and the thing came out, that cost me $250 because I did not know. And here's the global scope. The Israeli Ministry of Defense admitted selling weapons to about 130 countries in 2021. There's a company, NSO, that I think they're the part of the Pegasus, the spyware, the phone hacking, where the company's vice president, Ramon Eshkar, wrote in the Israeli press that, quote, Zionism, Israeliness, and values are with everything that the NSO does. And it gets into much more of the spy versus spy stuff with the various mentions of Aman, A-M-A-N, Israeli military intelligence, Shin Bet, Mossad, and police investigations, and on and on and on. Sometimes they may be catching criminals and smugglers, other times, dot, dot, dot. Ron DeBert, a Canadian professor of political science, a philosopher and director of Citizen Lab at the Munk School of Global Affairs, that's M-U-N-K, Global Affairs at the University of Toronto, told me, the author, that the major challenge facing opponents of the cyber surveillance industry is how to tackle the fact that, quote, the world today is run by a transnational class of gangsters. That's the way I think about it, like kleptocracy globally. In his 2020 book, Reset, Reclaiming the Internet for Civil Society, DeBert argues that without fundamental changes to the financial incentives inherent in companies like NSO, the future of the human condition is bleak. Personal data surveillance and authoritarian state controls present a perfect fit, he wrote. Seemingly endless, ludicrous business opportunities that undermine public accountability and facilitate despotic rule. Cellebrite sells equipment to hack phones from short distance and NSO group from long distance, but the effect is the same for activists, Israeli human rights lawyer Eitay Mack told me. Yeah, the one vague thing, the only qualm I would have with the book is sometimes his defining who's a despot, a dictator, or a democracy. You know, that's sort of another topic, but sometimes I think he may use those kind of loosely. One example is Putin. He repeatedly mentions Putin's invasion of Ukraine, but fails to recognize the fact that, okay, yes, on some grounds that could be argued as a invasion, but he does not mention that the Ukraine neo-Nazis were bombing and destroying and killed, I think, 6,000 or 7,000 people in the Donbass region since 2008, I think it was. So, you know, he paints Putin as the bad guy in the context of the book. But that's one example of I don't think it's done, you know, that the presentation, he needed more information there. And plus maybe Venezuela, I think it's a brief mention. They could be using some of this equipment, but, you know, if Venezuela is like a master example of thwarting U.S. empire and other efforts to mess up their, whether it's online, you know, their technology, internet connection, or whether it's whatever it is, they thwart infiltrators and attacks. So if some of this technology is being used for that, then that's I would say a positive side. So make it probably a two parts, because there's a lot of info to cover in this book. And that'll do it for this part one. Thanks for listening. Be well. Shalom.